This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, Nick Caserio, Cody Stutz with us. He was asked about Stephon Diggs. It took about five questions.
We asked him first.
You did. Here was Nick Caserio answering a couple of questions about new Texans wide receiver Stephon Diggs. After this, though, there's a polarizing prospect that John Harris thinks the Texans should draft if he's there at 42 and switch his position. Yes, this is a fact.
They've
Nick Caserio.
Bad history with that, by the way.
On Diggs first.
What goes into a discussion with another team trading for a player like Stephon Diggs? How do you guys kind of arrive at that decision?
Yeah, Cody, I'd say I talk to a lot of different teams at different points of the year. So I think we're always open-minded and just trying to look at opportunities that they may or may not exist. I would say that was something like I don't think we were really anticipating. But, you know, I think I had some conversations at different points and ultimately it was able to come to fruition. And we felt that, you know, it made sense for us to pursue. So, I'd say we talked to a lot of teams about a lot of different things at different points. Hopefully, you know, Steph can come in here, and Steph's been a productive player, so hopefully come in here and help our team in some capacity.
Why do you think that he is a good fit? You talk about noise outside. There is a label, or people say, oh, he's a diva. And the fact that we haven't heard from Stephon yet, is that a Stephon thing, or is that a football ops thing?
Yeah, number one, I don't even know what that definition means. So if someone can define that for me,
right,
again, like we're not worried about, you know, again, we're worried about what a player does when he walks in our building. So we do our research. We talk to our players. We talk to other players all the time. We talk to our players, you know, as an example, like a lot of the guys are in the draft. And we talk to those players. Hey, what are your thoughts about so-and-so? What is your experience with him? So, and we do our research, and then ultimately, D'Amico and I sit and talk. And if we feel comfortable with the decision, then we go ahead and make the decision. Candidly, I think it's unfair to label anybody until they actually have an opportunity to walk in the building. Again, our environment's different than another environment. So we really don't know what's going on in 31 other buildings. We know what's going on in our building. So excited to have stuff here. And, you know, when he gets here, I mean, certainly he's, you know, he'll be available. You know, there'll be ample time for you all to visit with him. So like, we're not, you know, sign a free agent, you know, bring a jersey up here and, like, do a big powwow. Like, that's not how we operate. Like, we don't believe in that. Other teams choose to do it differently. Excited to have stuff here and hopefully he can add to our team.
Okay. I mean, you had Mixon and Hunter.
Yeah.
Let's be serious, Harden.
Yeah, but that wasn't like take a picture with the GM and the coach and hold the jersey
up. Who the hell wants that? I want him to go up there and answer questions like Mixon and Hunter did.
Yeah.
What kind of Hardo stuff is that?
Not man? Just Hardo, but the ultimate straw man. He pulled a straw man there.
Yeah, we didn't ask for you to give him a parade.
Bristol asked specifically, is that a you thing or a him thing? And he's like, we're just not going to do a powwow. Like, no, he's just asking who's the reason.
For the record, I like this Hardo version of Caserio.
It's more entertaining.
What did you take away from the answer the first time that we heard Nick Caserio publicly speak on Stephon Diggs?
The unexpected nature of being able to get Diggs. I mean, it seems like he was.
He said we weren't expecting it.
He said, yeah, didn't anticipate that being available. So it seems like maybe there was some poking and prodding, and maybe they had initially been shut down at a previous time. We know that they tried to trade for Keenan Allen at one point.
Yep.
So
shows the obvious pivot, which we already knew, but
maybe Diggs showed up on their radar and they just go ahead and make the move really fast. I got to imagine a lot of teams probably would have traded a future second for Stephon Diggs so that, you know, that for them to jump on it. We talked to our players. I wonder.
He had to talk to CJ.
I wonder who all
had to.
Bro, I wonder who all has.
I tried to give you the game on this, and you wouldn't listen to it.
What?
go ahead.
Which one?
I wonder who all has talked to Stephon Diggs outside of, you know, the building and
CJ.
Yeah, you know, off the record and stuff like that. Yeah.
Future assistant coach Case Keenum, guys. I tried to tell you this, and you bleeped on it. Almost actually, because you bleeped on it, but. Yeah, man. There is a there.
I also liked how he basically didn't say that there's no chance this guy is going to end up unhappy. Like, he didn't make any guarantees about how Stephon Diggs is going to act, but he did say, we're not the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, and that's crazy that they're saying that whether that's a good or bad thing, who knows, but obviously they're not the Buffalo Bills. But
you don't think D'Amico Ryans is going to make a 9/11 reference in a meeting?
I would hope not. Okay. That's a Sean McDermott thing. Yeah. The other thing that I like there, if you are, we're going around the NFL, Landry Locker, B. Scott, Cody Stutes, Figgy Fig with you. The other thing that I like about it is he said we didn't even know that was a possibility. To me, that, I won't say it eliminates, but the natural progression, you look at it as Keenan Allen was plan A and Stephon Diggs was plan B. And when you think about plan B, usually it's what wasn't as good as plan A. Not that it doesn't work out better. Maybe after they missed out on Allen, then they just intensified and tried to expand the possibility and got a little bit more willing to
stick their chest out.
Yeah, they found a new plan A, perhaps.
Yeah, because if you believe what he said about it not being a possibility or not realizing or thinking it was a possibility at one point, then that's not much of a plan B. That's it becoming a plan A. Let's revisit it and see if we can make this realistic.
There's also a small sidebar about the draft in that conversation, because he said, hey, we talk to our players like we do with players in the draft. So talking to John Metchie about Will Anderson last year, if they talk to C.J. Stroud about Cade Stover, the tight end from Ohio State,
oh God,
Cade Stover's going to be on the Houston Texans.
Cade Stover made it sound like he wants CJ to be the godfather of his kids when you talk to him at the combine or wherever he was.
I'd understand that.
Nicknamed Country Gronk for what he brings to the table.
Country Gronk?
Country Gronk.
So does that mean he beer bongs a lot of beers or what?
Just the run after catch ability and the ability to run through defenders after he gets the ball in his hands.
You know, the last time.
The country part comes from being at Georgia.
The last time an organization that. What do you mean? He was at Ohio State.
Oh, we're talking about Stover. My bad. Yeah. My bad. My bad. My bad.
Yeah. Yeah, Stover.
Yeah, so where is he from?
He's from Mansfield, Ohio. His family's farmers.
Okay.
I'm familiar with Mansfield.
Yeah?
A lot of nothing out there.
Farmland?
Farmland and a prison.
Oh, nice. Prison, tough.
Sounds like a tough guy to me.
Sounds like my kind of guy.
Hey, that's what country looks like. Drive a 45, see Huntsville.
Man, okay.
That's country.
I can get down with country, Gronk. He's big-time CJ guy. Big-time CJ guy.
Huge CJ guy.
Mark Schlereth, not a big Stephon Diggs guy. This was him with Sean Pendergast. This was Stank talking about Stephon Diggs.
Ultimately, you have to hold Diggs accountable to a standard. CJ Stroud has to do that. Like, it becomes everybody's responsibility to a degree to do that. But ultimately, it lies in the head coach. If you let him pass by whatever standard you have set, then again, you have set a new standard, and you can't allow that to happen.
Who's going to allow that to happen? You know, like, where's the crisis in leadership that exists, or the leadership void that exists with the Texans right now?
Bobby Slowick does not strike me as the type of guy that's going to go human shield for his players on offense if D'Amico's got a problem with him.
Schlereth is going through the old man get off my lawn phase of his career. And I've always liked Schlereth. He was a lead on ESPN, but he is very much going through the man, screw these young guys. Whether it's getting into it with Jerry Jeudy, whether it's this, like, he's just, and you see how he's working out. Like, he's in like the, it looks like he could still play. I know he's pumping iron probably 4 hours a day, it looks like.
Look like he probably have to change his position too, though. He looks more linebackery, defensive side of the ball this time.
But he's very anti-Diggs. I think he hates receivers. I think he just hates receivers naturally.
I know Casario said he doesn't know what the diva definition means.
That's a lie.
That's
more Hardo.
Also Casario. A lie, also Hardo. But damn it, it seems like Mark Schlereth does, or at least seems like he got a feel for it.
This, Nick knows what that means.
This locker room is equipped to handle Stephon Diggs. I mean, the quarterback seems to – I cannot see a way that he's going to dislike C.J. Stroud's personality. It seems like he, in addition to dislike the way the offense treated him and the way Josh Allen treated him as a teammate, it seems like he disliked Josh Allen, the dude.
I think it's as much about the coach, too.
Yeah.
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 Former NFLer, former linebacker, been there, been disrespected by a team on the way out the door. You know, I think D'Amico Ryans will be just fine with Stephon Diggs.
I also wonder how much it'll be, like you talk about just the first year, or in this case, the only year that's guaranteed. Like, how much of it is it going to be a honeymoon phase for Stephon Diggs to where, like, this whole diva thing or, you know, personality conflict that we're talking about, how that just doesn't become an issue because it's still fresh?
Well, maybe because there's no seasonal depression because it's not snowing on the ground and impossible to get to work every day like it is in Buffalo sometimes.
That would help. That would help. Or even, like, I know they didn't play in the snow in Minnesota, but getting to the stadium, I'm pretty sure, wasn't exactly pleasant either.
Yeah.
His first warm weather city in his NFL career. That man going to be happy as hell.
I did find it hilarious that Nick Caserio throwing passes to Stephon Diggs at his pro day.
Yeah.
Caserio said that was important.
Yeah. And
starting the evaluation.
Aaron asked
him
about it. Aaron said, yeah, you threw good.
Yeah.
That was funny. What about safety? Mark Schlereth likes Jeffrey Simmons. He's a big fan of Simmons. I said Jeffrey, Justin Simmons. I would be a big fan of Jeffrey Simmons,
too. They could use Jeffrey Simmons.
I'm a big fan of both of them.
Go get them both.
Yeah, I like them both, but Justin Simmons is who we're talking about.
Simmons and Simmons.
Here's Mark Schlereth talking about the former Broncos all-pro safety.
He'll be in shape. He'll train. He's one of the great people in this league. He really is. To me, fits completely with what I know about the Houston Texans organization. And he's going to sit and wait till after the draft and see what the best fit for him is that gives him the best chance to be a playoff contender and a Super Bowl contender. Because let's face it, that'd be a great fit for him.
Texans will be a great fit for him. Gotta say.
Unless he's just biding his time and waiting for the right spot, I'm just surprised that he's not on an NFL team already.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, well, clearly that's what he's doing, right? I mean,
it takes two to tango, obviously.
But it would be hard to imagine, wouldn't it be, Cody, hard to imagine that there are not at least 8 to 10 teams that would be interested in him?
Oh, absolutely. Especially if you're going to sign up for 1 year of Stephon Diggs, why not sign up for 1 year of Simmons?
And there's not, unlike with Stephon Diggs, where you feel great about the top end of that position group, you might feel okay. Like, I talked about this yesterday, kind of, you know, feeling pretty good about Jimmy Ward and feeling like Jalen Petrie has still got some good football in him, and last year was a down year. But there ain't a dude on this squad that I want to make sure I didn't do the wrong Simmons thing, that Justin Simmons wouldn't displace. Like, he's immediately at the top of the depth chart.
He pushes one of those guys to a depth position and turns a little bit of a weakness from a depth standpoint into a little bit of a strength.
There you go.
All right, so I teased this at the start. The Texans drafting a pretty polarizing prospect, rare prospect, and changing his position here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Cooper DeJean. And yes, I said he's rare because he's a white corner. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. He's a white corner. We don't see those very often. Cooper DeJean is a guy. He got hurt at Iowa. He got moved to corner when he first went to Iowa. And he's a prospect that's expected to go perhaps in the late first, maybe early second, who knows, but he's an athletic freak. John Harris, he said that he would draft Cooper DeJean if he were there at 42 and move him to safety. He said he would let him play safety and play all over the place, not necessarily at corner, maybe do some corner things, but if he were there, he would draft him and play him at safety. This intrigues me because you have a guy who has played both corner and safety, athletic freak, and I don't want to call it killing two birds with one stone, but I do find it rather interesting that that's where Harris's mind went.
I need Harris to be more of a chain breaker, more of a, like, let's let's kill these narratives about how a white guy can't be a cornerback.
I know it's a narrative.
Let him go out
there.
Might
be a fact.
Let him go out there and make history. You know, it is fact. So let's make new facts, man. Why we got to move the white guy? You say he's an athletic freak. So why would you move the athletic freak from
a
freaky athletic position?
If Cooper DeJean gets drafted by the Texans, I'm going to make a thumbnail graphic, and it's going to be like Cooper DeJean with Wesley Snipes on the front, and the movie's going to be called White Men Can't Bump and Run.
That's hey, if he's there at 42,
White Men Can't Bump and Run.
It'll be appropriate. Let's just say it plain, Cody. If that dude is there at 42, it's racism.
Yeah, if he's there at 42, you have to draft him. Because you can play that guy all over the field right away. You can play him at corner. You can play him at slot corner.
Kick return.
You can play him at kick return. You can play him at punt return. You can play him at safety. He's immediate depth in multiple positions. Like, he could be number two on the depth chart at three different positions day one.
Literally, the only reason not to draft him would be like, white corners? What?
I think he would be the second white cornerback in Texans history behind Matt Stevens, who was a player like the early years of the Texans. I believe Seth played with him in like one of those first few Texans teams. Matt Stevens.
What, special teams?
That's back in the era when there were white corners.
He was quite literally like the 53rd player.
What was my
roster.
Dude with the Giants?
Jason
Sehorn. Yeah, like that's that era.
Yeah.
I mean, even the.
Name another.
I feel like Courtland Finnegan might have had a little white in him.
Come on.
When he took that helmet off, I was like, I don't know.
The Iowa kid from last year, I think, ended up playing a lot of safety for the Broncos. I don't think he played much corner. Riley Moss, I think, is his name. He ended up playing a little bit more safety, but he wasn't anywhere near the type of prospect that Cooper is.
Break the chains. Break the chains and let the white man play corner, damn it.
If you could get the white corner or Kool-Aid McKinstry, that'd be nice. I don't think McKinstry gets out of the first round. You don't like him as much as a lot of people, do you?
I wouldn't even consider drafting DeJean if McKinstry was there. McKinstry
okay.
would be the pick.
Okay.
10 times out of 10
yeah,
for me.
Man, Kool-Aid McKinstry's sick.
Are you going to just stick him in the slot?
I like McKinstry. So if D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio are telling the truth.
They like Bama guys.
When you walk in there and if you play well, you play. Kool-Aid McKinstry would end up starting over Okuda and Henderson. He would start opposite Derek Stingley.
He's got the hurt foot though.
Yeah,
But then he ran a 4.4.
Look, every injured guy this time of year swears they're going to be ready by the time training camp gets here. He swears he'll be ready by training camp.
Well, then this is why I like that you at least asked him about how do you weigh whether a player is ready or you know the opportunity cost of hey,
what can they do for you
day
one?
What can they do for me day one? Or is
what can they do for you in November?
Plan for next year?
What
yeah.
can they do for you in 2025?
Right.
Like how you. Add that into the evaluation process.
He called it a moving target, I feel like. And that's or something to that effect, didn't he?
It's I think it's totally different player to player.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important for some prospects, and I think it's really important or it's really unimportant for other prospects. Like, oh, this guy's so good. Whenever he gets on the field for us, we have him on the field. I like McKinstry more than the Clemson kid, Wiggins.
I don't
really
like
fast.
Wiggins. Wiggins is like third round for me. Maybe
he's really thin.
I am not. No, thank you.
The Kevin Johnson vibes.
Clemson's kind of.
Or is that right?
Kevin Johnson was nice early.
Clemson has not been the Clemson that you think it has been the past couple of years with the quality of play and.
Oh, I don't think it's been a damn thing. You know. Clemson.
Yeah. Will Shipley is a popular name on day three. Scat back. Another white running back.
I like him. I like he. He
See,
is.
We have those.
He is great value CMC.
All right, race card that. That's embarrassing. Now,
race card!
You got to ruin everything.
Hold on. All right, he grew up.
He's white, so we're going to call him Christian McCaffrey now?
No. Dude. Okay. I do my research here. He grew up in North Carolina. He knows McCaffrey personally. He works out with Luke McCaffrey, and he was a top-rated prospect coming out of high school, just like Christian McCaffrey.
All right, so the white guys know each other.
All right,
Thanks, dudes.
Great value CMC.
All right.
Just remember that when he's catching passes on third down for somebody in 2024.
I take me a great value CMC. I can't lie.
All right, Chargers signed J.K. Dobbins to a one-year deal, so Jim Harbaugh kicking the tires on the local guy. I'm rooting for you, man. Torn ACL, torn Achilles. That's tough. And final story in around the NFL, Simone Biles, local legend around here. Yeah. Mark Berman's right-hand gal. He liked to follow her around. Man, don't let Simone Biles show up to a Texans practice.
Hey,
Berman's right there with that iPhone in the face quicker than you can.
Mark Berman had a good sense for what goes viral, and that woman goes viral.
He had a
viral.
Good sense for localizing it. But she was asked about her husband, Jonathan, who, by the way, he got a first pitch at a White Sox game. Are things that bad in Chicago?
Yeah, they won.
Is he
like,
on the Bears?
They've won like three games, dude. They're the only team in the American League that's worse than the Astros.
I didn't know Jonathan Owens was throw out a first pitch worthy, but okay. Good
at,
for him.
At a White Sox game?
Okay.
They're gonna absolutely.
They're going to let Caleb Williams pitch.
Yeah, I was going to say, me and you could probably go out there and throw out a first pitch.
He threw out a really good first pitch. Not as good as CJ's, but it was good. And this is what his wife, Simone, had to say. She said the following, quote, "I really thought he was going to throw a 50 cent. I was so excited for that. Well, it was actually a 10. So it irritated me how good it was. It was really good."
Dang.
She just wanted him to throw a 50 cent. Stephen A. Smith.
She just said that our man can't throw.
She doesn't have any. Well, that's why he plays DB.
Yeah.
That's enough. A good relationship, though. Competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, you keep him honest. She's an can't lie to him.
I mean, he's the one with the famous quote of talking about he didn't know who she was when he started dating her.
That's our guy, though. Me and Figgy have a bond with Jonathan Owens from when he joined the show. Because he's also a fellow former fast food worker.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah, he worked at Burger King. I worked at Arby's. Figgy worked at KFC. So there you go. You never worked in fast food, did you?
I did not.
You went straight to the pharmacy.
Well, I started at the grocery store, Fiesta. So, I mean, that's grimier than anything that y'all worked at.
No, I worked at a grocery store before.
Fiesta?
That sucks. Did they make you condition, like the shelves?
Condition the shelves. Yeah, I mean, I had to do that at the pharmacy, at the Walgreens.
Yeah. Oh, with y'all's $7 Campbell soups.
Yeah, man. We still got badass kids that come in there and open stuff and spill stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing.
$5 bag of chips at Walgreens.
You're paying for convenience, dog.
You talking about CVS.
Hey, it's the same thing. They're the exact same.
CVS has a coupon
CVS
that makes
is
it
high,
normal.
Man.
Yeah, CVS's coupons, they make it go to normal-ish.
You want a fun little money-saving tip? If you find an expired food item at CVS and take it up to the front, they give you a $3.50 coupon. Use them whatever you want.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
There you go. You always know this weird stuff. Coming up next, another day, another uniform leak. The Texans, they've had it happen once. Now they've had it happen twice, and they've actually acknowledged it. We'll talk about it as the internet goes nuts next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.